This morning I would like us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Assyria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. This morning I want us to think about seeking for personal salvation. And we'll go through the whole passage and pick up matters that relate to our subject and see how well it will do for us. So we see that we have before us the history of Naaman the leper, and we are told that he was a captain of the Syrian army then who have come to raid part of Israel, have taken many captives, and there was a young lady that they have taken as a captive that was a maid to his wife. And also, through the passage, we also see that Naaman, being a leper, received a cure from the Lord by the hand of prophet Elisha. And we know that Syria was not part of Israel. And in those days, the Israelites, you see, they were outcasts of Israel. They are not part of them. And how God, though these people being outcasts, and God granted his salvation to such a man as such. It's a great thing God does always. And we say that God's salvation is regardless of race, tribe, rank, or station in life. And his goodness is to all, and he saves whom he wills. Even in the Old Testament times, he saves those that he wills, and he continues to do so. So considering all the circumstances in this passage and the cases, we'll look at the things that relate to the personal nature of salvation, and how each one of us might seek salvation exclusively from the Lord, for it is a needful thing to have. The American here is a Bashir Naaman. And Naaman also may have someone before you bring an empire account, a history of Bible, very brain. And I make us say, So the first thing we reflect on this morning is the universal misery of man. You can pick it in the passage. In the verse 1 we read that, now Naaman, captain of the host of the Syrian, host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So in summary, we can say that if Naaman, around those who were living around him, and those who envy Naaman because of his achievement, we will say they are thoughtless, in the sense that they don't know what Naaman was suffering from. They can say, Naaman, because we read that he was a great man and honorable, also a mighty man in valor. Then it was added that, but he was a leper. You know, sometimes God, the Bible is God's own way, and He always has sometimes before we call a story in a way that you will see that He wants to let us reflect on something. But He was a leper. And you know that, I'm sure, at a time when Naaman was living, the poorest in Syria, who knew him well, would never want to exchange skin with Naaman. Because leprosy then was a big, big disease. It was a disease that, I mean, there was no disease beyond that in those times. And nobody would want to exchange skin with Naaman. So the condition of leprous Naaman in our text represents every sinner defiled by sin. Yes, the air can say, if you the Bible no air can no, actually, in several ways, I see a fear, Mesima, we are say, how do we ask? Yes, if you're name on that, a Buddha, when you're in Yoma, when you're now, because Obi, I'll let you stand up, never bring. Yes, if I never bring name, I know you're here, on being seven which, and I can say, if you crowd walk, serious, I'm running on him name, a brow of Reno, on the person best standing on them. If you saw the Mesima, a quarter, not here, sir, and well. And we know that in this world, there's no one living, however happy and prosperous such a person is, in whose account, sooner or later, we don't come and meet back in his life. There's back in everybody's life. The air can say, if you ask more to me, OBPN one, a bravo, see a few more, a cost, a two to say any idea. It could be a younger Nelson, will be our Nelson on a problem. Each one of us has a part in our lives. For every advantage that one has in this world, it has a misery attached to it. If I saw an answer, a coin will be now, if you have to move beyond, you will have the name one, or Okuni Penny. Or you'll be a Yabuno or any Pakasi, and so not or your Patani. Not or your Patani. And you know that in this world, as in the case of Naaman, those who are in authority or those who are in rank and fame, they are those whose lives are often displayed in the public eye, and so their backs are often seen by everyone. Their backs are always seen by everybody. You know that. I mean, many great celebrities, like we think of Tiger Woods and many of them, when their matters come, people are shocked. People are expecting many things from them. But it's a common thing with everybody. It's only because that they are famous. People think that it's so extraordinary. And also we think of government workers. See, sometimes you see somebody have been taken to the public accounts committee, and people say, oh, this is what is happening. But you know that many of the corruptions that happens in government institutions, they still like that happens in the private institutions. But nobody takes these private people into account. So mostly, what we see is that those who are in the public eye, we see their back a lot. So this is in the case of Naaman. But let's think about our own selves. The air can say, remember, we are really far and war a thing, and I said, you who said, in our common life, someone will be generous, but a cheat. If you ask me, you see anybody, you will go on. Or in some way, I'm a bar, and so no, it's simple. Somebody could be humble, but envious. Oh, friend wants a bar, it's not a time. Somebody could be cool tempered but hateful and malicious. Obama, we ding 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 ding. And so now, as your money, I want to win it. You know, say, if you wish, I want to. You know, even among the apostles, Judas, I mean, one great Christian said, Judas was an apostle and apostle. Judas had a privilege to be among the apostles, but he was also an apostle. So you see that. The back of Naaman is the back of everybody. And it's a picture of our sinfulness. It's a picture that everybody has corruption in his heart. The Ayah can say, Naaman, the part of who's on your level, and will be a one episode, a Jnaoma, Bonia, and one if it be a Bravo. This year,
na ne die eye kwata. Sorry. Na ne mande eye kwata. Na ye ka se, obi omo a ti se Judas say no oka asumafo no. Enso oyo obi a na onji, onji Kristo. Na mka se, sabat anase nenso no na exchange boni obi abrabu. So leprosy in scripture was one of the great diseases which represents sin. If you go back to Exodus, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, the Bible gives so many pictures of leprosy and how they should treat them. And anyone who has leprosy is separated from their communities. So they are cured before they are able to come back. So you see that leprosy marks the beauty and the joy of those who have who has it as a den. And also, its deformation can never be restored. When somebody is deformed by leprosy, even today, yesterday they have medicines to cure leprosy, but the deformation, the harm that the leprosy can come, nobody can restore that part of your skin back again. It's only God, only miracle that leprous skin can be restored back to its original state. So you see that even from Old Testament time to now, true cure for even leprosy was only by God. And it is the same, true cure for sin, true cleansing for sin is only by God. The air can say, even tetano, pata, yanko pompe, ina ne tumisa, ina ne sofo, na 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 sofo. Now, make us say, Quatana say Nipa, Miss Manipa, be a Nepon fair, and answer Miss Maninija, Ninija, no assess on your money here. And a Kamua, a Beba Nipano, Hunamuino, just in memory, where I say, oh, Quataya, oh, Quata, I draw, yet the money pano, and Hotonua. A kama kama no abano eno de entu mi koda na ga eno na chere se yakopo pe entu sa kwata na de na chere ejina ho ma e chere se boni kwata e ja ma boni oba gu mi na ejina ho se boni nso yakopo pe na betumi ade asa boni ana so obe kokoro boni e fi ho. So you know that all humanity has a leprosy of sin. What's leprosy signifies? Sin, despite how wonderfully and how highly we are endowed in our own sight, how beautiful we are, how smart, how intelligent we are, there is leprosy of sin in everybody's life, which is causing and eating into us. You know that when God created Adam in the beginning, he was perfect. There was no bad in Adam. Adam, we are told, everything was perfect. But you know, when sin came in, we are now born in sin. Every baby is conceived in sin, and they are born in sin, and we live in sin. We die in sin for eternity, unless each one of us sought for pardon, sought for forgiveness, sought for cleansing from the blood of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we come to the Lord and ask of Him to cleanse us, to forgive us of our sin, because of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. When Christ took onto the cross, He stood in the place of sinners. You know that Christ is called a friend of sinners because He only can take away sin. As John the Baptist told His disciples, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So He only can take away sin from the guilt of sin, the defilement of sin, everything that sin does to us. Only Christ can undo its harm in our lives. The air can say, Adam, tell my God, boy, Adam, no? Na, ne usu bie ni Adam, no? If you say Adam no yet, why otene? Nemo boni ba buwe yano. Isi ano yenize ya obonim, ya we obonim, ne ya sasa betra obonim, ne ya u obonim. Akwa ayira say, this is ya kushere ya ukupa ni boni fache wo Kristo mu. Efe Kristo pena obeji na ni pande mu sendu yano so no shere ni moja guye. Inti oni moja pena hu epre pa boni, ehwa so chere boni hu. So we see that sin, leprosy as it pictures is a great thing. And as we think through, we see and you understand how Naaman was so much troubled because he knew that if He doesn't have the cure in Israel. Nowhere. At that time, nobody can cure him of that. Even the medicine that can even prevent the feather, deformation, was not there. And not to talk of the one who can take everything from him. So we see that Naaman was in a great need. And so is every sinner. Each one of us, we are in a great need. Each one of us, we are in a great need. Sin is in us. We have been infested with sin, and it is eating us in our life each and every day. So I want us to look at that other thing in the passage. We have looked at the universal mystery of sin, the birth in everybody's life, the very thing that makes us imperfect and makes us not to be upright, righteous before God. So the next thing I want us to look at is the need for relief. Because Naaman saw his need for relief. You know that Naaman, unlike many other lepers in Syria, desired for a cure. You know that I'm sure there were many lepers in Syria, but I wonder how many of them wanted to be cured from their leprosy. And how many of them were okay, they thought that, I'm leprous. I was born leprous, so I didn't know how leprosy came to me. So I'm okay. I'm living like that. I'm sure many of them were thinking so. Jamaican said, Naaman, on this side, a quatafu will bring a Syria. No, pay. So Benya, I am receiving a quatano. Now, because I said, anybody will bring a war of his own. Maybe after I say, Bonin, Yamina, Yawan, and I'm here to Bonin, intimate trouble him, Davi. Naaman, one drinks, and so. Quatano de Abah Mini and Udru, share, Les Ubina and no Udru. So, in his dislike for his leprosy, he was willing to accept the advice of a young maid who was his slave. So, we read in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. You see that. As I said before, at that time the Syrians had captured some of the Israelites, and there was this little maid. And you know that because he was in need, when he heard of this, when he heard that his master was leper, he said that in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, Who God my Lord were in the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him of his leprosy. This young girl knows that there's God in Israel. Though he was now a slave, he could still testify that there's God in Israel and that God's prophet can do this thing for his master. And you know that often masters don't care about what their servant says. But because Naaman wanted a cure, even the little words that came through the wife to him was precious because he wanted a cure for the leprosy. They can say, maybe no, I will not be brain, I am more enqua in some kind of fine every. But wait, if you say, oh, pet, I are a sum man, you know, a simple better fan will be an officer, or then a city, you know, just say, about Buano. So Naaman had heard that. After he had heard it, he sought for permit to travel to Israel. We read from verse 4. He said that, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So he took his journey. Immediately he heard that there was a cure and that he can be cured. He took his journey straight to Israel. It's a long journey from where they were, from the north there, coming down to the south. So he came. But let's look to ourselves. Though all of us are sinners and all of us know our bad, the things that we falter, and how sin is, taking control of our lives. Many even cry over their sins. Many cry over their conditions. Oh, I wish I am no more this person. I wish I am no more that person. But many cry, how many people seek for relief from the Lord Jesus Christ? Many also have heard that it's Christ alone that can save us from sin. But how many are crying to him? How many are calling upon him? None. Few are willing to do this. But look at the preparation of Naaman. Immediately he heard it, and the preparation, he begins to travel. But many people hear of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, because his name is so common, some people just, Jesus Christ. No. Those who know their sinfulness, they cry to him daily. they cried to him like the one who was crucified with him on the cross, the thief. While the other was mocking, he cried, "Lord, remember me in paradise." He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You see that those who know their sinfulness cries to him. And those who want cure, nobody who wants cure is careless of the cure. He really always runs to where he can get a cure for his disease. You know, the very problem of us most is that many are careful and desire things of this life than eternal life. The air can say, Many are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. As we are told, the last part of the parable of the sower. That what people care about the riches and the pleasures of this life. There was a song I used to listen. The man says that what? There's heaven to gain and there's hell to shun. The way to heaven is still by the cross. Unless you turn your eyes to Christ, you can never have the way to heaven. You can never have the salvation to heaven. You can never have your sin be forgiven you. So you see that when people are consumed with this world, it's entertainment, it's enjoyment, it's pleasures and everything. Christ is at least maybe the tenth portion of their life. So you see that to seek for relief is to have that desire and willingness and always crying to him, always calling upon him. How do you ask something if you are indifferent about the thing? Well, I don't know if he'll give me. Well, I know the person. Maybe. Let's see. No, but this thing is sure. Christ said that, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He has promises for people to come unto him. Naaman heard that there was a God in Israel who can offer him a cure. He organized himself and took up the journey to go to Israel. So my question to you is that, have you organized your heart? Is your heart willing to move to Christ? We don't go to Christ physically. It's our desires, our interest. The mechanic said, Naaman bwabwa no to kwan so okọ efẹni say Israel fi wa tiyan kupo ọhọ bi bi ajina. Kọna mi say won so won ni no. Awonya pẹ. Eye pẹ. Ye Christ ye 19 kọ no ho ni so. E di akoma. Eni ye eye dadwene na Yesu frẹ no. Eno chese ye ko Christ nchen. Christ is calling, and are you willing to give everything, the joys of life, everything of life, and give yourself to him? Until then, there's no relief for you. Until then, there's no salvation for you. Kopimbra, ube de upe anywe ni je ni ubi biabeko Christo nje. No wasere no so mfa boni nje ono. Unya boni fache. Unya ahoji efi boni. Boni beda oso sa. Kopimbra befi wiasim. No wasu kye. Ebe oho asu edi amau. So my third thing is what? Faith in Christ, the only appointed means for salvation. Christo mupe ina yagupo diye sihose en kwa jie ewo. And we read from verse 6 to 10. And he brought, that is Naaman, he brought a letter to the king of Israel saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant today, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. But look at what Elisha told him. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Naaman was sent to King Joram of Israel. You know that the king of Israel thought that God, the God of Israel, was like the gods of their land, who is must serve their purposes. You know, except it's God alone. All the idols of this world, they serve purposes. I mean, men create them to serve their own purposes. And the king of Israel thought that the same with Israel. He didn't know that the king of Israel himself was an ungodly person and that he has nothing to do with Elisha. So he thought that I will take the letter to the king so that his God, since it's his God, to grant the solution that you need. But you know that even King Joram, who was ungodly king, knew that leprosy can only be cured by God. Is it not interesting? Leprosy can be cured by God. You know, in this our world, even those who are stout atheists, they know that the removal of sin cannot be done by man. All the education of this world, all the moral teachings of this world cannot change a man's heart to be good. And they know it. They might not say it. They hear can say, "Oh, he know who is the Israel Yankupon, or to say Syria for Yankupon, or Omangasa, Oman University, or no, they won't pen a moment. That'd be Yankupon, I know Israel, or yet King Joram, not know a king of Israel, or Yanakua. King Joram cannot know Yankupon, or Yenipa Bonipa, not not Israel. And it's not on himself. Yamia Sam, don't find him. When him so said, "If I tell so dear, Yankupon pen the bit to me, I day." In the letter, no, Eban and Jeno, when the letter came to King Joram, he was in desperate. "Me, I have nothing to do with God. Myself, I don't worship him." And he said, I don't have the power to cure this one of leprosy. But you know that when Elisha heard the news, and he called that they should bring the leprous man to, so that they will know that, yes, there's God in Israel. And you know that Naaman thought that he was coming to a prophet with great powers. So you see how he described. But Elisha made him to know that power of deliverance belongs to God alone. Even Elisha, through whom God exercised his healing power, did not claim any power. But look at so-called prophet today. What did they do? Come to me. And if you come to me, then God will do this and that and that. That's what they claim. Elisha did not, if we go there, Elisha did not even meet him. He didn't want to even, he sent a messenger. But look at so-called today, what do they do? Come to my place. Some people say that they are having the blood of Christ, come and they will cure, and all so many nonsense that people do nowadays. This man of God, a prophet, he even didn't want the man to see him. Just sent a word. So you see the differences. So you see that Elisha did not claim any power, and how even a Naaman wanted to see Elisha. It's not how he saw him. Because in the other land, I'm sure those who are their prophets, they have some kind of, they give them that, they think that they have some power. But no, Elisha did not claim that. He proved to Naaman that we come to the Almighty God only by faith, trusting in only what he has promised. From the Old Testament to the New, God has to be dealt with by faith. It's by faith alone that God, we can receive anything from the hands of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it said that we please God by faith. It's by faith that we please God. And the just shall live by faith, and we please God by faith. It's only by faith that we can please God. Without it, nobody. We cannot have anything from his hand. So we see that Naaman's cure was to be by faith. Look at verse 10. It said that, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Simple. Jordan River is nothing. The water can do nothing. But it's the obedience of faith, relying on what God has said, that brings salvation. You see, so this man was told to go. So we are saved from sin by God's own appointment, faith in Christ, death on the cross. It's simple as such words. But whoever rests his hope on this and hold it by his heart That's where the salvation lies. The here can say, Miss Mana, name and crown of a office of prophet, Comsenica, see everywhere, owe to me, obey, and my dear woman. Name and fact me who is your sir. No, because I'll share in a moment, so we are a commission for. Ah, I said, Brammy Hall, Mina, me, I could go to me, Brammy, Mina made me the Castle, Ghana, Bay, say, near the name man. Well, my Elijah, my name and grandmother, no, so much on Castle. Now, Mr. Chester, Yaku Pong, your bay and go for a chain, oh, did you super? Son, I'm not Elijah, for the chain name. Jordan is you and I know. To me, be any Jordan is you, I assume again. But JD and their Sutier Noir, name man, Benyadia Cohon. I am just by faith we come to the Lord. So, and I'm say, in quite a few bonnie must say, JD, and go for a JC was a Christo super, na same Diano, of course, no question, Mujaguiano, and Numan and Quajero. Wow, do I come up by my side? No, what do I pull one out of one man? A four, and I'm quite here, or the mouth. Say my name, or sorry, yeah, a cast uncle of Jordan. Jordan, no, and yet, as same Diana, so no, as same Diana is drawn to be any, but JD now bring us a Christo. So if you move Jaguar, then the Bajon, I know that quite general. But you know that Naaman, we are told, was angry and went away and said that, verse 11, now, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the labor. Are not abundant foul power rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers, all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. He coming to the presence of God came with his own description. I mean, in this world, can you go to a doctor and tell them, oh, doctor, yes, I'm sick, but I don't want to take the injection. I don't want to take this medicine. Maybe I want the medicine that I will put on my skin. How can it be cured? And that's what Naaman is trying to put across. Because in their God idols in Syria, I'm sure they do such things. And they're able to describe, and because they are false idols, they submit to them. Is that not what we see with our today's prophet? What do? They are the puppet of rich people, puppet of a president and government appointees, and they prophesy that we suit their ears. Is that not what false prophets do nowadays? They are puppets of rich people, but they want money. But Elisha wasn't a prophet of any authority. He was the servant of the Most High God. So he has to deliver what he was told. So that Naaman did not hear what he wanted to hear. He thought that what he had was below his dignity. Such a great man myself, a mighty man of valor, and I should come and be told like a small boy to wear washing. Oh no, this is below my dignity. That's what he was thinking. So he wanted to hear great things. He wanted maybe the prophet to acknowledge him. Oh, great man. Oh, mighty man. Come, and I'll do this and that. Maybe his accolades, the man of valor, the honorable man, will be showered on him, and then God will come and do whatever he please. No, that is not how God does his place, he thinks. So you see that his preconception were against what he had. What he has really put in mind was against what he had. Is that not the same thing? How many people also treat Jesus Christ and they approach to him? Some believe that the atonement of Christ alone is not enough. Oh, the blood alone is not enough. Something must be done. So that I'll show that, oh, this is what I did and God saved me. This is how I was like this, and God, like, it's like they want just, something God should do to what they have. Some also think that, will God forgive me only by believing in Christ? As there's a common saying that heaven help those who help themselves, and they bring you to the Bible. It is not like that. Your repentance, your seeking for Christ, it's not part of your salvation. Always I use this as a picture. You are in a pit. You are sinking. And somebody help you to get out. What we are saying, who saved him, who rescued him? What would they say? Would they say that because you held the rope and you were pulled out, you were part of the rescue team? No. They would say that he was rescued. Such is the salvation of Christ. Your repentance, your seeking for Christ, it's not part of the work of salvation. is what God does in you, what God gives, the forgiveness of sin, the changing of the human nature, giving you a new nature, being born again, is it from the hands of God. Repentance cannot save anyone. And yet we have to repent. We have to position ourselves. We have to come to Him and forsake our sins and be ready to receive what He gives. The salvation is only by God. It's not by anything that we do. We cannot top it up. And many people are also deceived. Oh, you believe in Jesus Christ and you also do obey the law and these things are added for you too. No. We obey the Lord Jesus Christ and after we are saved, we live a holy life. The holy life does not top up our salvation. No. No. Salvation is in Christ alone. The good life we live after salvation rather testifies that we are saved. It doesn't add up to the salvation of Christ. It's a deception. So people think that, oh, they have to do that. No. Our good life, what is that? What all good can we do? If the good that a believer does is the work of the Holy Spirit in his own heart. It's not his own work. So you see that many of these questions, so sinners, many sinners turn back and snub Christ, the fountain of life, and rest in their good works. Probably that will give them some, at least they are doing something to push them. No, it's not like that. But you know, however, his position to return, we read in verse 12 to 14, what happened there? He said that, verse 13 down, and the servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When his servant came and convinced him, and tried to persuade him that, what you are thinking is not so. If we were told to do a great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Also he came, and he went back and did, and he had received his cure. But what does it teach us concerning our salvation? You know that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince our heart. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to persuade us, to let us have that sight of our dear Savior. Left to each one of us, even those of us who are saved, we will never have loved the Lord Jesus Christ. We have always loved our own sins. But the work of the Holy Spirit to convince us. When we are run away from God, He chases us. He tells us that, no, there's hope in Christ, that there's a better life to live in Christ. They make an say, Until we are moved, until the work of the Holy Spirit is done in us, we will always run away from Him. And this also calls us that we should cry unto the Lord, that He should send us, He should relieve us of our sin. While we continue to cry, He will send us help. And the help He sends to us is His Holy Spirit to touch our heart, to move us, so that we'll be able to see that things of this world are nothing compared to things of eternity. It's the Holy Spirit that is able to let us see these things. Nobody by his natural knowledge will know that things of this earth is nothing as compared to things of eternity. Nobody can come to that understanding. So let's pray. Let's cry to the Lord. Come to Him by faith and see if we're able to do that. So the spirit quickens us. It makes us to surrender all and return to Christ. That is the work of the Spirit. So, if we are helpless and destitute of ourselves, so we see that we have nothing, then the Holy Spirit comes to us and He helps us and He lifts us up. And like, remember in Mark chapter 9, there was a man whose son was possessed with an evil spirit. And he cried in tears to Jesus to relieve of his what? Even his unbelief. So Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him. When he came to Jesus to heal his son, I said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You see, sometimes we think that we have faith. No, we should always cry. Oh Lord, help my unbelief. Right there, boy, me angel di. Some of me to meet you. What me to meet you? When Christ on who debia. Then so me who unquai je wa brabo. Then so born that sweet so wa brabo. Then so me who mercy na me to me about unje. This man, Lord, help my unbelief. Right there, boy, me angel di. It's a great prayer to pray and a desire. And whoever prays sincerely, God will help the unbelief. You know, this child, he was saved. See, that the Bible gives us so many things to help us before our salvation, to know how we will come to Christ after our salvation, how we will live. So there are so many things. Oh Lord, help my unbelief. It's a great prayer for one who wants salvation for himself. Like Naaman could turn back and go back and bathe in River Jordan. So you see, God also says to the sinner that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So if anyone says that faith alone in Christ cannot save, what would that person do? Without faith, nobody can please God. And if you say that faith alone cannot save, what will you do? Your works are filthy rags. Your effort will only earn you eternal death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Bonne akitia, eyo wo, eya sutwe. Yakopon adoma chedia, nam jidi so eba no. Eya da nkwa. So there's no sinful person that God cannot renew by His Spirit. But let us come and ask Him and call upon. Let us seek. Let us call upon Him and He will answer us. So in coming to my conclusion, we see that Naaman is not cured when he rests upon the word of God to go and wash. Naaman, the young Kwaje, who's the Naaman? Nilekosi, no, Nilekwatano, Angogeko. Who can Bible now say verse... Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, leprosy did not leave him alone. He had a fresh skin to come out, which shows the power of God in healing a leprous person, which is a picture, as we see, in a new birth. There's a new life. There's a new beginning. There's a new life given us, which springs from us as a seed. As a seed is sown, it comes out as a life. And that thing is real life, which is different from our normal life that we have, which is a life that will not die. It will be kept by God Himself. So in coming to conclusion, we notice that how by trusting in God's word, Naaman's leprosy received a complete cure. And you see that his flesh came again unto him. So it is with all who will trust in all the sufficient blood of Christ for salvation. We shall be totally forgiven. We shall have a new nature from the Holy Spirit. There will be a new birth to assure you of your acceptance with God. Your sins will not only be forgiven, you will have the new birth. You experience being born again. As Naaman saw leprosy was going, but he saw that there was a new beginning of flesh in his skin. The same way, when Christ forgives your sin, He gives you a new life through the Holy Spirit. And there will be a new beginning which is beyond this world. A new life which is nothing but things of God. We also noticed that the effect of Naaman's salvation, he was now aware of the Almighty God as the only God worthy of worship. Look at what he said in verse 7, the last part. He said that, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto God, unto the Lord alone. How now is aware of the Almighty God? Before then, when he heard of the God of Israel, he never knew him. So his salvation brings us closer, brings us in fellowship with God. And we know that God is our Father, and that we're able to have faith to pray and trust in Him. Those without salvation don't know these things. They will call the name of God, but it's just a shallow. It's just a mere form. They don't really know that God is their Father. Those whom God has changed. Name man a hidden idolater. Say that. I worship God alone. I offer my sacrifice to Him alone. So when you are saved, we will now taste the true sense of prayer and God's forgiving love, which will restrain you to Him alone. Many people cannot really give themselves up to God, cannot really obey whatever the Bible says, because they are not really saved. If they are saved, it's the word of God alone, and God alone that they will cherish above everything. So it's sometimes I tell people that many churches are filled with a lot of goats. You know, the Bible uses sheep and goats. The sheep are representing those who are God's children, and the goats who are not God's. And yet, many people cry over such churches that well, people don't take the word of God. Which people are you preaching the word of God to? Most people are good. There are people who are not saved. The word of God will never have any influence on a person's heart until there's a new life. Yakub wants them to me nya to me wabrabo. You know about many portions of scripture in your head, but the influence, you will never feel it, because the Holy Spirit works in the heart where he has sown a seed, where there is a life of his himself there. So see that he was also grateful to the Lord, and you see, some commentators from Jordan to Samaria was about 38 kilometers. Was able to come back. So he wanted to come and offer some gifts. To the prophet. You see that though the prophet rejected it, but you see that when the Lord saves you, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You now want to offer everything to the Lord. Your whole life, your possessions, as we saw in Acts chapter 2, the Christians, how did they do? And historically, it has always been like that. They give themselves up and everything they have for the worship of God and for the purpose of whatever God has made. So until then, you always quarrel with obedience. You always struggle with the Lord. We always struggle with issues. But when the Lord has saved you, prayer will never become a chore. Worship will not be a burden again. Self-denial becomes no more a notion in your ears. It's not something so, rigid for you. You give yourself to such things. And trusting the power of the Lord, you're able to do all those things. And finally, you notice his newness in faith. Look at what he said in verse 18. In this thing, the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Ramon to worship there, he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramon. When I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardoned thy servant in this thing. He was so anxious, as if he was asking for permission to go and worship his idol. That's not what the text seems to say. It tells you, anyone who comes to the Lord initially, what happens? After he said, how he's so unsure that he might fall into sins. And he began to be in such this thing. But you know what Elijah told him? And he said unto him, go in peace. He departed from him a little way. Elijah knew that. By the time he even traveled back to Syria, his faith would have been firm that he wouldn't even think of going back to worship idols. So Elisha did not even compromise by not telling him not to go and worship. But he knew that God will work in his own heart. So you see that his novelty. Naaman now has such heart to come that he's afraid that his sin is against God and that God should pardon him. Who is the one who knows that his sin is against God? It's only the saved person. So you see that being saved makes you aware of God, makes you aware of your allegiance to God, and he himself becomes your heavenly father. So friends, may each be encouraged to come to Jesus Christ and trust in him for forgiveness of sin, if anyone has not done so. Well, there are so many blessings to know God as your father, to pray to him, and to really have that sense of his presence with you. Don't you want to experience the taste and the joy of the children of God? Naaman has his own. Naaman received it when he received his cure. His heart was turned. And now you want to worship God alone. Don't you want to be such a person? Naaman has it, won't you? But you also come to the Lord, look upon our Savior on the cross, cry unto him, and ask him to help your unbelief. And God, in faith, will help the one who seeks him, and come to him by faith. And you'll be pleased. God will accept you. Let's